So this morning I'm going to be telling you about a guy called Roger. This is Roger. Now Roger is a really bright young guy who went off to university in Oxford actually to study to become a doctor. When he went to university he was about 17 and he'd never done that much running, but he started running on the track. He'd never been on a track before, he'd never tried on spikes before, and once he got running he realised he was actually really good. So he started to train and wanted to compete. Because he was learning to be a doctor, he knew loads about the body and realised that actually there was a lot he could do to make himself a better runner and run better races by paying attention to how he looked after his body. In fact, his good race really depended on it. So we're going to look at a passage where the Bible talks about the life we're living being a race and us being runners. Hebrews 12, it's on your notes and behind me, says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." I don't know about you, but when I think about my life being a race, I start to feel tired before I've ever even done anything. Working for the project, I realised that actually I need to be taking really good care of myself to be able to keep running that race and also to enjoy the race along the way, which is what God wants for us. So this morning we're going to look at four things that will help build us up, keep us in shape, get us strong for that race and enable us to actually enjoy running it. So, you've got a sheet. This is your health check. I don't want to come at you with a do you measure up, but this is for you to do a little spiritual health check of whether you're in shape, whether you're fit for the race. So, I'm going to start off talking about how Roger, our runner, looked at what he was eating. So he looked at the impact that different foods had on his body and noticed that some of them were really building him up and helping him run better, and some of them just weren't really doing much for him. I'm going to do an experiment. Can I have a volunteer, please? Yes, you, sir. Come and join me. What's your name?
Heath.
Heath, great. I'd like everyone to take a good look at Heath. Just have a look at him. Okay, checked him out. Right, Heath, I would like you to eat a Rolo. You're not allergic to them? Great. Just eat that Rolo. Okay, now everyone, I want you to watch really carefully. Okay. Does he still look all right? Is he okay? Nothing changed? No, you're not getting any bigger? You're all right? You're okay? Feeling all right? In fact, he's smiling. Okay, well, that's interesting. Maybe you can eat anything you like and it doesn't have an effect on you. Huh. Okay. Well, there was a guy in America who did an experiment. He ate nothing but junk for 28 days. He was called Morgan Spurlock, and he went to McDonald's three times a day. You can pop yourself back down. Thank you. He ate nothing but junk for 28 days. The effect on his body was that he gained 24.5 pounds in a month. He gained 13% body mass. His cholesterol shot up to 230. He experienced mood swings, problems in his relationships. They found increased fat around his liver in just a month. It took him 14 months to lose the weight that he put on in that 1 month. So I guess, although there's obviously no problem with Heath eating a sweet, if he was to eat nothing but junk, you see the results pretty quickly. So it's the same for us spiritually. It's absolutely fine for us to watch a movie, read a fun book, read magazines, surf the net, anything like that. Just like a sweet or a fast food. It's fun, it's convenient, it's easy. But they're not designed to be our staple diet. They're not the things that are going to build us up, make us strong, fit for the race. Hebrews, the passage we just read, says that we should run that race with perseverance. And for that, we're going to need to feed ourselves up enough to make us strong. So just thinking about how we do that, kids, for you, maybe that's getting a parent or reading for yourself a Bible verse and just remembering it so that you can say it back to yourself. Maybe you could ask for stories about people who've done really amazing things for God to encourage you about what you can do in your life. Or maybe you just listen to worship songs that have really good meaning in the words. Adults, a few suggestions. I know a lot of people are really busy, but this doesn't have to be difficult. Maybe download a talk. Maybe listen to it again, worship songs full of truth. Maybe just swap your toilet reading from Top Gear and Home Improvement to Andrew Wilson's Comparable, something like that. Even the way that we approach the Sunday preach actually makes a really big difference. So rather than me coming in and sitting there with a Okay, entertain me. If you engage me well enough, maybe I'll listen and take on board your point, if it really surprises me. Or I can come in and I can think, right, whatever this person's style, I'm going to get everything out of this. God, I want you to speak to me, and I'm going to apply it today and for the rest of the week, and hopefully it will become part of my life. It's just a simple thing internally. It's an attitude shift. So it's different for all of us, but find ways to feed yourself up well. So that's your first running tip on your sheet. Are you well fed? Now back to Roger and his training. Roger was training the way that everybody said to. They were telling him he should do loads of long stamina runs, build up his fitness. But now he wanted to compete in sprint races, which for the kids is just a really fast, short race. So he decided not to listen to what everybody else said, but he would treat his training like he treated his medical training, which was very precise, doing very specific things. So he started doing short, fast runs. He ran on grass, where he was less likely to damage his body, and he started to train his mind as well. Now, what was interesting was he wasn't running as often or for as long as any of the other competitors. What he decided was that it wasn't the quantity of training that mattered, but the quality of training. Now, that's an interesting point to apply to how healthy our spiritual life is. If we're just putting in time with God, just ticking the box, that's not quality and that's not about a relationship. We're not meant to be measuring how we're doing, but we do need to be asking, when I spend time with him, am I actually connecting with God? Am I bringing my real self? So my next question to you is, are you getting filled? The Hebrews passage we read says we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. So let me ask you, how are your times with God going? Would you describe them as quality? Now imagine if Roger had worked out the perfect training routine. Absolutely brilliant. He talked about it, he wrote it down, he thought about it all the time, he told people. But he never actually went out and did the training. It's not going to have a great effect on his race. So it's just the same for us. We can think about God and talk about him, maybe read about him, but there's no substitute for just spending time with him and being filled with him. Most importantly, though, I want to just look at the idea of being filled with God when you spend time with him, because I think some of us can feel a bit like we come out of time with God and we're not really sure if the right things happened or whether we really got filled. I know that's been my experience often. I'm kind of wondering whether that was a successful time with God. So I just looked at a few passages. James 4:8 says, "When you draw near to God, he draws near to you." I find that really helpful to remember. I can know if I have chosen to draw near to God, my real self, he does draw near to me. Equally, Luke 11 verse 13 says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So I can know that if I spend time with God and I ask him to fill me with his Holy Spirit, he does. I can take that on faith. So I can leave my quiet time and go out about my day knowing I am filled. Not measuring it with how I feel, but knowing it because it's truth. In fact, let's do another experiment. I need 2 more volunteers, but I'd like some slightly bigger volunteers. Okay, you 2 guys there. Pink t-shirt, yellow t-shirt. Come on down. Okay, I want you to be very careful with this. We're going to stand here. Can you hold the cup for me? And this, carefully. All right. Can you very carefully pour this, it's hot, into this container. All right, here we go. Just a bit. That's enough. Okay, thank you very much, guys. Okay, so now look at this. What's it doing? It's leaking. So I've heard many people, thank you guys, it's very helpful. Come on, if you just hold that for me. I've heard many people say that we're like buckets, that you pour in the Spirit and it leaks out. I feel like that's quite a negative way of looking at our way of being filled with the Spirit. Actually, we're more like a coffee filter. So we're filled with the Spirit, but that's what we're designed to do. There's coffee coming out. If this didn't leak, it wouldn't be fulfilling its purpose. Thank you, you can sit back down. We're designed to leak, it's a good thing, but you do need to keep refilling it. We only put a little bit in there, and quite frankly, that's not to keep Sarah Oliver going for long, the amount of coffee in there. We need more than that. So we are designed to leak, but we do need to keep being refilled. So kids, let's look at how this works for you. To get filled with the Spirit, just remember, God likes you to enjoy time with him. He wants you to enjoy it. So maybe, I don't know, you could get songs that you like to sing and sing them to him. Maybe you can go outside in the garden, look at things that are pretty or beautiful, look at the sky, tell God how amazing he is. Maybe you might just decide to lie down, be quiet, and ask God to come and fill you. And adults, it's the same for us. Find things that you enjoy and do them. I don't know how I managed to overcomplicate and procrastinate so much about my time with God, really. As Mike would say, just do it. It's all we've got to do. So, let's go back to Roger and find out how he's going on. Roger, with all of his training, started competing in lots of races. He did really well, was competing internationally. There he is, competing. He was even going to the Olympics. He was doing an incredible job with his running. But he had set his sights on one big goal. He wanted to be the first man to run a whole mile in 4 minutes. So that's like me running from right here all the way to Bedford Park. So can I have a volunteer? No, I'm kidding. No volunteers. So, no one had ever done this before. He wanted to be the fastest man in the world. He wanted to break this record. So he set a day, the 6th of May, and he kept training. He had a really good friend who was his coach called Franz and other friends who were training with him. When the 6th of May dawned, it was a really terrible day weather-wise. It was really windy and blustery, and he knew that that could actually prevent him from breaking the record. So on the journey down, he's talking with his friend and coach, Franz. And Franz tells him that from the training, he thinks that Roger can do it in 3 minutes 56. Roger looks over at his friend, and he's got so much confidence and belief in him that he decides to go through with the race. He gets down there, walks into the stadium, and sees as 3,000 people have turned up to watch this race. So he gets down to the start line. He's got his friend and coach on the sidelines. He's got another friend called Nick waiting for him at the finish line. And he's got two other friends who are also runners out on the course who are helping set the pace for him so he knows how fast to run. He gets on his marks and he waits for the starting gun to go. Talk about nerves. 3,000 people watching you do something. Now, our passage in Hebrews said we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. But 3,000 people. Now, it might feel like what you do goes unnoticed, but every battle you fight is seen. When crunch time comes, Roger had really good friends around him, and I really know that I need the same. Galatians says, carry each other's burdens, challenge on issues, restore gently, don't compare yourselves, reap what you sow, do good to all, especially the family of believers. Are those the kind of friendships that you have? We're going to do a health check on friendships. I discovered that one thing that keeps me really healthy is those really good friendships. About 3 years ago, I realized that I just didn't have proper friendships like the Bible describes them. So I had loads of friends that I really loved and connected with, but I'd see them probably like once a month or something. I didn't see people that I was really close to often enough that anybody really knew where I was at. So I started to build those friendships. And one of the best lessons I learned was about intentional building. I've got a friend of mine, and we used to meet up about once every 4 months, and we'd get together in a cafe, we'd laugh together, we'd cry together, literally, funny looks in the cafe. We'd just spend such an amazing time. We'd come out of it going, wow, that's amazing, you've so refreshed me, you're my best buddy, you're awesome, wish we spent so much more time together. And then we'd go another 4 months without managing to get it together to see each other. It just was crazy. So when I realized that I had this friend deficit in my life, I started being really, really deliberate with who I spent time with and when. I now see that friend every week, pretty much, and it's an effort. I mean, I know we're busy. I've got a full-time job and some. She's got two small kids. It's really difficult. But at the moment, I'm cycling over to her house at 7:45 in the morning to spend an hour with her before work, just because I want to see her and it makes such a difference. The second thing about friendships is real honesty. Now, this is a difficult one. The passage in Hebrews says, we should throw off the sin that so easily entangles. Our friendships can be an amazing way to strengthen us in that, but we need to be being honest with each other. There is nothing as divisive in a friendship as harboring a hurt or a judgment against somebody and not sharing it. Somewhere else in Hebrews calls it bitter roots, and they can grow up and choke even the best friendship. So, some of my closest friends I've had really, really horrible, awkward conversations with, but honestly, that's probably why they're still my closest friends. I can think of one person particularly who I thought was really shut down. I used to think that she, every time I offered an opinion, she would just clam up and, you know, she'd say something, I'd offer another opinion, she'd just back off. So I thought, maybe I need to talk to her about this. I mean, you know, what's wrong with her? As it happened, she came and talked to me and told me that every time she shared something really vulnerable with me, I'd just object and go, actually, I think something different. And I was arguing back against her when she was sharing with me. So that conversation just highlighted to me, well, I was thinking she had a problem. Obviously, I was just communicating really badly. So we've got to go into friendships with that sense of being ready to forgive the other person, but also being ready to change ourselves and ready to hear that. So, is there any friend that you haven't talked to about something you're struggling with in the relationship? Here's the hard part. Have you already forgiven them, and are you ready to hear that you might be in the wrong as well? So a real healthy friendship should be honouring, encouraging, accepting, challenging, should knock the edges off you, bring perspective, but the point is that you've got to want to do that for them, not just start by analysing if they're doing that for you. So on your paper, you can write down people who you can be really real with, who refresh you, and I want you to think about how much time you're intentionally spending with them. Okay, this brings me on to my last F, which is fun. This is so important. Our God is a God of abundant life. He said that in John 10, that he wants us to have life to the full. What kind of faith are we inviting people to if it is heavy and dull and miserable and tiring and serious all the time? If we're going to be a light on a stand, that is not just about being good, it's about being attractive. This life is meant to be attractive and enjoyable. We're meant to enjoy running the race that we run. Have you ever played that game, kids, you might have done this, where you have to stare at somebody and not laugh, stare at them really seriously for as long as you can? I've played this game. I've also had a variation. Three of us, we're going to have three photos, completely straight faces, and we just change the hats in the photos. It's not my gifting. This is how it went. Me in the middle, straight faces. Then I tried again, and I tried again. I'm not great at that. That feeling we can have with God. It's a sense of joy like bubbling up in us so we can't even keep it back in. God wants that for us. You know, he invented laughter. He loves hearing us laugh. Do you know that about yourself, that God loves hearing you laugh? We've got to have more fun. I particularly need telling quite often to stop taking myself so seriously, to stop being quite so earnest about everything. I need to have fun. One of the obstacles is dignity. Often having fun means you don't look quite so cool. You don't necessarily look like you're the cleverest person around. But God called us to be childlike in every area of our relationship with him. And a good way to start is learning how to have fun. So here's some things that I do to push off looking cool and just have some fun. I dance like a crazy person. It makes me feel good. I climb trees. I watch stand-up comedy. I hang out with people who make me laugh. I really like doing handstands in weird places like the tops of mountains. I like playing in swings in parks. I like playing games with my friends like Articulate. It often means sacrificing that dignity, but it's so worth it just to lighten myself up. Let me give you an example. I cannot tap dance, but I like to pretend I can. Let me show you. I'd like a clap, please. There you go. I look like an idiot, but it makes me feel good. You see, you can't tell me you're too busy to have fun. You can tap dance while you make a cup of tea. You can do it walking down the street, but you might get arrested. So, I want you to write down on your piece of paper, what do you enjoy? What do you have fun doing? Then I want you to think, how often are you doing those things? Quite challenging. I bet if I asked you what issues you need to sort out, you'd be like writing them all down. When you're writing how often you're having fun, does it come quite as easily? This shouldn't be difficult. So I want you to make a fun goal for yourself and actually follow through with it. This might be the most important thing that you do today. Okay, finally, let's return to Roger. The gun has gone and he is running. He's got his eyes on the finish line and he is running. His pacemakers have set off. He's charging down the line. That wind is buffeting him about. He's fighting fatigue. He's fighting for breath. He's totally exhausted. He's running towards it. Eventually, he charges through the tape and he makes it. Totally exhausted, collapses at the other end of the line. His friends there with him, they've no idea if he's broken the record. So the crowd of 3,000 just hush as the announcement comes. And the announcer says, "Ladies and gentlemen, the results of the 1 mile. First place, Roger Bannister, with 3.59 crowd erupts. Cheers, drowning out the rest of the announcement. No one knows what was said left or who came second. He had done it. He broke the world record and he was the first man alive to run a mile in 4 minutes. So inspiring. You know, I want my life to be that kind of race, but I want to enjoy running it. So, this morning, don't go away with a to-do list. Go away with your health checklist. Have a look. How are your 4Fs? How are these things in balance? Are you living a life that's going to build you up and keep you healthy? So run your race, but expect God to fill you. Expect him to feed you. Enjoy your friendships and have some fun.